Okay, now I don't mean to be a fun sucker. It's usually my wife's job to do that one. You know, our time on this earth is really, really short. It is really, really short. And it's important that we take the most of our opportunities to do the best that we can in the lifetime that we have. Some of the teenagers here, they're going to be taking their exams. It's really important that you guys study to the best of your abilities and do really, really well. But just do your best. Okay. Josh Johnson said to me the other day, he said, I can't believe I'm almost 18. And I was thinking to myself, I can't believe I'm almost 28. And some of you here are going, I can't believe I'm almost 56. And some of you are going, I can't believe I'm closer to 100. You know, life on this earth is so, so short, and it's really, really important that we make the most of every opportunity. So, why on earth are we here for? This is where the interactive bit comes in. Okay, so anybody tell me, what does the Bible say why we are here for? Anybody? To seek and save the lost. Brilliant. Great. Anything else? Preach the good news. Hang on. Chocolate. Go on. Oh, now you put your hands up. To live a life of worship. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Anything else? Go and make disciples. Okay. You're giving up chocolate for Lent, aren't you? No. Okay. Right, okay. So there are all these things that God has called us to live our lives, but the one that we're going to be focusing on today is to go and make disciples. Now, some of you in this room have probably heard about discipleship so many times. You're thinking, I know about discipleship, I've heard about this. But what I want to challenge you and ask you is, does the Western Church do this well? Okay. It's a really good question. So let's just have a quick look. What is a disciple? In simple terms, it's just to be Christ-like. It's to be more like Christ. And how do we make disciples? C.S. Lewis says this, "The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them like Christs or make them little Christs. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons like today, even the Bible are a simple waste of time. God became man for no other purpose." We are here to help draw men and women to God. Our lives should be that. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Okay, you ready for this? He's a pastor in Nazi Germany. And this is the really hard bit. He says this, "Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ." Some of us are going, okay, how many people am I discipling? You know, does that mean I'm saved? Do I have Christ living within me? And Dallas Willard says this, "Since making the task of the church, every church ought to be able to answer two questions. What is our purpose of Jesus, and is our plan working?" Okay, so today we're going to look at the person who did discipleship best. Who was that? Okay, and we're going to look at a model of how he did discipleship. And this is just a model. And because I know that you guys are probably sick of listening to me, I'm going to introduce Danielle, who is going to talk it through with you. And we're going to have a quick PowerPoint presentation. There we go.
Yeah, okay. So this is just a model that Josh and myself are using with our young people, but it's something that can be used in every situation. So this is when you need your little piece of paper, and we're going to make a wedding cake. All right. I don't know why it's a wedding cake, but that's just the model that they've used. Other people do it differently. So the first layer is the initial invitation of inviting someone into your life, basically. And that is the start phase, okay? Nice and easy start phase. And we look at Jesus in this, and Josh will go deeper into the details of this, but Jesus says, "Come and see." And that is the beginning of his discipleship. He says, "Come and see." It's the invitation into the life of Christ. So the next stage is the grow stage. Very exciting. So this is the point where, okay, they've come and seen, you know, they're quite excited. And now it's like, follow me. Jesus says, come and follow me. And it's the actual imitation of Christ, which is hopefully what we're all doing. The next phase is the lead phase, okay? And this is when the disciples start discipling others, okay? And this is where Jesus says, you will be fishers of men, okay? Obviously, he was talking to the fishermen at the time, so that's why it was fishers of men. So other people might use different phrases for this, but this is what we're going to work with because we're looking at how Jesus made disciples, okay? And the last phase is the expand phase, okay? And this is where Jesus says, go and make disciples who are doing all these phases. And we see that through all the New Testament, through Paul and, you know, Timothy and all those guys. And that's how we are using this model to kind of like teach you guys to hopefully live this model in your life as well. And this is what we're using for our young people. Something really exciting is that we haven't taught this specifically to our young people, but yesterday I saw girls, we had some girls around at my house, and they were inviting people to church. And I hadn't told them this, but they were already inviting people, which is the first stage of this model. So that's really exciting. Okay.
Brilliant. Thank you, Danielle. Pay rise for you. Sorry, I'm not allowed to say that, am I? Okay. Need to sell more cake. Okay. So before we look at discipling other people, I want to ask you the question, who is discipling you? Okay, I want you to imagine a compass point here. We've got north, south, east. Is that way for you guys? And west? Yeah, north, south, east, west. And imagine most people are influenced that we have are people to our left and our right, people that are similar age, similar interests on our east and our west. I want to challenge you, how much are you influencing people below you, younger than you, or if you work in a place, maybe there's people under your authority? And interestingly enough, how much are you guys influencing people above you? Here's some quotes for you. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Bad company corrupts good character. People inspire you or they drain you. Pick them wisely. And this is my favourite. John Maxwell talks about in the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. If you were to read that book, it is a brilliant book. He talks about the law of the inner circle. And he says, a leader's potential is determined by those closest to him. If you don't think you're a leader now, then you might not be in that lead stage in the discipleship yet. But let me tell you, that is something that you would want to work towards leading. Okay. So the question I got for you to start with, get your little pen out if you got it. Draw a little stick man as to where you think you are on this discipleship model. This isn't the be or end all. Yeah. Okay, I'll give you another 15 seconds. Draw your stick man as well as you can. Okay, and the next question that I'm going to ask you then is, who are you discipling? Okay, so maybe you could write some names of some people. There might be nobody, that's fine. There might be somebody below the invitation stage, somebody you're just thinking about. Maybe you can write that on the bottom of your piece of paper. Who are you discipling? Okay, let's have some more interactivity then. Put your hands up if you've invited someone around or somebody to church in the last year. Okay, don't worry if they've come or not, but have you invited them? Okay. Keep your hands up then, if you've put your hand up. Keep your hands up then if you've invited somebody round to your house in the last year. Okay, now Keep your hands up then if you have invited somebody, maybe for teenagers it's a couple of years younger than you, or maybe for adults, somebody that's 10 years younger than you. Okay, how about in the last 6 months? In the last 2 months? In the last month? Brilliant. Keep your hands up, those guys. Just have a look around, guys. Model disciples. You can all have a chocolate bar at the end. Okay. I am amazed at the amount of churches in Redditch, for instance, and I'm a youth worker, so I'm passionate about this, that don't have a youth group. You know, do you know how you start a youth group? It's really simple. You invite people round somewhere, a house. You get a pizza, stick it in the oven. You stick it in the middle of the room, and people chat and talk. And you know, that is the start of invitation. That is the bottom level that we are going to be looking at today. But you know, invitation isn't just inviting people. Did you know there are people out there who have no family? Or they don't have a good quality of family. There are people that are really looking for you guys to set the example. They are looking for an invitation into your life. One thing that I notice about people in Redditch, I've had the privilege of traveling to Brazil and other places like that. I'm not joking. When we go to Brazil, I've been to Brazil a few times with Luma. We get invited to weddings. Christenings, all sorts of stuff. We get invited around people's house for food. It's crazy. You come here, and this is the really sad thing. I had a friend in church, probably when I was about 12, 13, 14. He's not in church anymore. And I remember him turning around and saying to me, I don't understand why people, and I probably should have noticed this time, people are really nice on a Sunday. They ask me how I'm doing. But in the week, they don't even talk to me. I just don't understand it. You know, and that's how it can be sometimes. But people want invitations, actually genuine invitations. You know, there's this British culture that we sometimes have where we invite people and say, hi, how you doing? Would you like to come around to my house? But then there's this sudden brick wall as to how close they really get. Anybody ever broken their leg here? I actually haven't. Okay, imagine you've broken your leg. I want to challenge you that that is a great opportunity to invite people to push you around in a wheelchair around the supermarket. Okay, it's a great way to invite people into time with your life. So if bad things happen to you, invite people into that situation. They want to be part of that. Okay, so we've got our first scripture, John 1, 35 to 39. Okay. John's disciples follow Jesus. Can we have a volunteer? Have we got a volunteer here? Come on then, Simon, come on up. What a man. Can we have a round of applause then? Round of applause. Simon, can you read this scripture for me?
Will do.
Nice and loud, clear. Take time. Yeah, there to there.
Oh, okay. John's disciples followed Jesus. 35, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. Oh, okay. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon.
Brilliant. Thank you, Simon. Grab a chocolate bar. Ooh. See, we're rewarding people today. It's great, isn't it? See, so what I did there? I invited Simon to read some scripture. That's great, isn't it? Invitation. I'm inviting Simon to do my sermon for me. Brilliant. But listen to the words he has said. Come, he replied, and you will see. You see, Jesus was a prime example. All he did was just come and see. Come and see what I do in my everyday life. Do you know your spiritual disciplines at home? Do you read your Bible? Do you watch Coronation Street? You know, are you a Netflix junkie? You watch a whole series on Netflix in a week. Put your hands up if you've done that, teenagers. Yeah. Okay. People are looking how you live your life and how you spend your time. And they are imitating that. Okay. It's really, really important. I've got a book. I would suggest, if you want, you can borrow this book from me. It's called Four Chair Discipleship. This is a really good book to read if you want to get more into depth with this sort of stuff. But in this book, he says, and they talk about, instead of having four layers, he has four chairs. So in chair one, he says, the person without Christ has many needs. The patterns of Christ's life clearly models the best way to meet these needs. First and foremost, chair one people need Christ followers in their life who are willing to enter their world intentionally. You know, we need to willingly go out and enter and let people enter into our lives. Okay. You can put a little tick by your little first box if you like. So, invitation. What does then Jesus say? He says, follow me. Okay, John 1:43-50 says this. I love this scripture. I've learned to love this scripture more and more because there's so much you can get out of this. The next day, Jesus decides to leave for Galilee. Now, anybody know why he was leaving for Galilee? Okay, so he was from, he had come from Nazareth. Interesting, this is really interesting now. Okay, so Jesus performed miracles in Nazareth. He grew up in Nazareth. People knew him. He performed miracles, great things, and yet they rejected him as Christ. So what did Jesus do? He passed by. And he goes to Galilee and he says, finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Now, at this point, did Philip already know Jesus? There's probably actually a good chance that Philip, there was already that come and see layer at the bottom where Philip had already seen what Jesus had done. But now he says to Philip, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And he says this to his friends Nathanael. Nathanael said, Nazareth, can anything good come from here? Come and see, said Philip. Interesting. Did you see those words? Come and see. So Philip has almost got the promotion in discipleship from come and see to follow me. And already he's imitating Jesus and saying, come and see. He's inviting his friend Nathanael. Do you know, that is the most amazing thing. Teenagers, put your hands up if you invited someone to the youth group recently. Do you know what? These guys are amazing. They are an absolute blessing. You know, people that are inviting people. Do you know what? The next stage is getting them to follow you. And maybe they'll start inviting other people as well. Encouraging. And this is where we get more into the nitty and gritty. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. So I'm guessing that Jesus maybe through the Holy Spirit learned a little bit about Nathanael at that point in time. Maybe he was listening very closely. But Nathanael asked, how do you know me? Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. The amazing thing is that Jesus noticed Nathanael even before Philip had even spoken to him. And I want to challenge you, if you're not very confident in sharing your faith, here's a good one to go on. Jesus is always already on the case of the people around you. He's already on the case. And it's not only just that, we can learn from Jesus because Jesus speaks to Nathanael. And he starts to build up a rapport with Nathanael. You see, this is the stage when we're discipling people where there is a little bit more of a cost. It may be for Jesus at that time, it was his time. You know, we need to start being deeper with people, deeper in our relationships, deeper, more intentionally deeper with those people. Because people want to be loved. It's as simple as that. More chocolate time, okay? Anybody tell me, what's the greatest commandment? I ain't got that much chocolate. Love the Lord your God. And what's the second commandment? To love your neighbor as you love yourself. How do you love your neighbor? You love God. Do you know when your primary love is for God, the more that you love God, the more you love people around you. I have to say, I've been doing youth work for about 11 years. I haven't always been leading it for 11 years, but I've been doing it for 11 years. So that's about Sophie here, Sophie's age. Sophie Lloyd-Lucas, you're at the back there. Okay, so I've been doing this for about 11 years. And I have to say, doing youth work is an absolute up and a down. Sometimes you're on yourself by yourself, it's lonely, you're doing stuff by yourself. Sometimes you're in a bigger team. Sometimes you can plan. Here's a good one for your teens. You can plan for 4 hours, planning 1 5-minute activity, and people hate it. You can spend 30 seconds planning an activity, and people love it. Okay? It is an absolute up and down roller coaster. But if nobody else did it, would I still carry on? Yes. Why is it that you carry on? Because you love God. It is the love of God, and you start loving people more. It is so encouraging. It is so exciting when things are going well. But when things are going tough, it is hard to keep on going. And what is the one reason why you keep on going? Because of your relationship with God. And that's why I was saying earlier that it is important that you guys are making sure that you are also discipled and in constant discipleship, regardless of what age you are at, because it is important that you guys are continually fed. Interesting. Jesus says, remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey you also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Let me tell you guys, it is not easy. Sometimes you get rejected. Do you know, we don't often get rejected at the invitation stage, but when it's the starting to follow me, that's when we start to get rejection. And how we react to that rejection, people are looking. I've got a quick video of the teenagers. We put the teenagers completely on the spot and asked them some questions, okay? This is probably more of a reflection on Matt and myself and Danielle as to what they came up with. And I said to them, honestly, it's okay if you and ah. I said, it's okay if you just say, I don't know the answer. Okay, so we completely put them on the spot. And I do apologize, the audio is a little bit out sometimes. So sometimes you might have somebody sitting there and you can hear a voice. Okay, so yeah, if we could just cue that video, it'd be brilliant.
I'm 13.
Hi, I'm Alicia and I'm 11.
I'm Rory Dodson and I'm 17 years old.
I'm Sarah and I'm 16.
I'm Josh and I'm 17.
I'm Miriam and I'm 16.
I'm Callum and I'm 12 years old.
Hi, my name is Sophie and I'm 11 years old.
When you go on to tell the word of God to other people, and wants them to come along to church as well, and then make them disciples.
Is it like you're a follower of God?
Discipleship is when you're following Jesus and like his ways.
Okay.
think it has something to do with following God and getting other people to follow God.
I think it's when someone teaches someone the way of the Bible and the way Jesus taught his people.
Is it to do like following God? Like someone telling you to follow God and you're following God?
Going out and telling people about the name of Jesus.
Discipleship is when you're a follower of God and you bring other people to follow God and listen to
you. I think discipleship is something where we are made disciples in Christ, and that is where we go out and then tell people about God, and then we try and encourage people to know Him and try and like build relationships with other people and try and get those people to build relationships with God. Church, tell them about it, bring them to wherever, get them to come to live with us, get them to come to gathering, whatever that may be. Inform them and tell them more about Him.
Well, I grew up in church because my dad was a pastor, so I would say my dad discipled me, but it was kind of a smooth process by my mom. My mum brought me up as a Catholic, but then I then came to this church and she brought me here. And well, I got here because I was small and all the time I would be in church when I was a pastor, so.
From you, Joshua Baker, and from the other youth leaders, and I guess from people from the school neighbours, it's like the gathering and things like that. And the people have been coming and talking about it, and it's in their schools and that, and whatever it is. So, yes, so.
Brilliant, can we have a round of applause? You guys did extremely well considering. You were under pressure. And, you know, it's interesting, though. We don't do a lot of heavy teaching on discipleship at all. And we would like to do it more, wouldn't we, Danielle? But I think people start to grasp, don't they? Just through growing up and leading by example and the teaching that you get. You start to learn as to what discipleship is. And that's what people... That's just what happens. And it's, you know, it's really, really exciting. Teenagers, I want to really encourage you. You are, some of you in the grow stage, in the lead stage, you know, probably some of you will be going on to the expand stage quicker than some other people in the room, maybe. You never know. I just want to encourage you guys, you're doing really, really well, and you are a real blessing to the church, okay? I won't embarrass you anymore, okay? So we're on to point three, and unfortunately, I think a lot of people... Can I say this? I think in our nation, a lot of us get the first two quite well, but this third one is difficult. And it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:18-22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother, John. They went into a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Okay, Now, at this point, if you were to read this for the first time, you might think that Jesus is calling from the shore, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They jumped out of their boat, swam across the water and met with Jesus, and they just followed him. But actually, this probably wasn't their first encounter with Jesus either. They had built up that relationship. I, in the youth group, have made mistakes before of a time. Sometimes you have to speak to teenagers about how they behave towards the opposite gender, okay? And I've had to speak to two different people. One person took it really, really well. The other person didn't take it quite so well. Why didn't they take it so well, other than maybe having an issue with what I had said? It's actually because I hadn't built up that rapport. I hadn't built that relationship. You know, there is this point where you're starting to lead. If somebody is asking you to lead something, it is a commitment. You know, there is something deeper that you have to do in order to lead. And if you're going to follow somebody who's going to teach you how to lead, you're going to have to respect them, aren't you? And this is really important, then, when we're asking people to record videos and other things like that, that they respect what you say. You know, but also, it's really important that we're giving people opportunities. In our youth, this is what we're just trying to do. We have a group of young leaders. We're trying to encourage them to learn from our mistakes. We're trying to encourage them to do what we also do well, okay? And we're putting them in places where they have the opportunity to lead. If you don't have the opportunity to lead in some way or shape or form, or to serve in the church or even outside the church on mission or something like that, speak to Robin, speak to people about it. Because, you know, we can all lead in some shape or form. It doesn't mean you have to stand up the front here. And this is why, teenagers, it's really important that you're here. This is why it's important that we all hear, because we are all the family of God. Okay, and we can all do something. Do you know there's different types of revival? There's a revival of the heart, where you know, people start to feel loved, where broken lives are made new. But there's also a revival of people. Do you know, if Jesus discipled 12 disciples, could not the Church of Oasis disciple the whole of Britain? I don't have small dreams here, guys, you know. I think we could change this nation. We can certainly change our town of Redditch. You know, we have the capacity to invite, to come and see. We have the opportunity to invite people to follow us, and we have the opportunity to start equipping new leaders. Robin and the rest of the session team have started bringing on some younger people through to encourage them. We've had more people added to the team. Rachel's come from Birmingham, from another church, okay? And she's had experience in larger churches as well. So we're bringing people on, and it is really important to have the opportunity to be able to lead, even if it's making a pizza for somebody. If we want people to follow us into that lead role, in this four-chapter discipleship book, it says this: evangelism is a byproduct of a healthy body. It's really important that we, together, are a really healthy body. You know, we're encouraging each other. We're giving people opportunities. I've been given the opportunity to speak today. Some of you may hate listening to me, okay? But please, keep giving me opportunities, because I need to get better. I need to get better at these things. Okay, and the last one then. 4, to expand. The Great Commission, to go and make disciples. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. That's really something to aspire to, isn't it? Do you know, there's not a point on this expand stage, I think. It could say it's a bit of a flaw in the model. Once you've got up to that expand stage, have you made it? Have you done everything that God's called you to be? No. Do you know, we all are growing. We're all learning to lead more. We're all learning to expand more. And I want to challenge you to keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on expanding. Don't give up. Some of you are studying, teenagers. Some of you are going to be studying. Some of you, Rory, you're going to be going to university. Don't stop learning, and don't stop learning about God. Do you know, I have learned so much just by reading up for this sermon today. Don't stop reading books. JJ, I know you hate reading books. Don't stop reading books, okay? I'm not a good reader at all. Danielle and Nathaniel have told me that they've got they're in a little bit of competition, I think. Who can read the most books this year? Okay, it's exciting. Nathaniel's choosing the 5-page books. Danielle's choosing the novels. Is that right, Nathaniel? A bit more than 5 pages, okay. Is this a case of, on the expand, that the student has become the master? I don't actually think so. Do you know, C.S. Lewis says that we need to be like little Christs. We are constantly learning from God all the time. In Luke 6:40, it says this, "The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher." If you were to read that verse, you look at the original Greek, the word fully trained or perfect is the word, probably not saying this right, katarizo, which can be translated as equipped. Do you know, we need to go from this lead stage to this expand stage and be equipped. If we stop learning, we're going to become dry and no longer equipped. When my parents were young, were my age, teenage age, the word wicked meant wicked, like wicked, horrible people. When I was young, and I have to say I never said this, but wicked was cool. Okay, now the teenagers that are coming up here don't even use the word wicked. Okay, so trends always change. Trends are always changing, and we need to learn to keep up with those trends. That's really important. That's why we do new songs on a Sunday. You know, that's why we do other things in the community that are new and exciting or different, okay? But the one thing that doesn't change is relationship. Relationship is really, really important. We're seeing this with all the teenagers. We see this on Unlimited at the youth group on a Friday. We've had an increase in numbers. Why? Actually, part of the reason is we actually spend less time doing Bible teaching. Is that a bad thing to say? We're seeing less, doing less Bible teaching, spending more time with them. And then when they are ready, then they want to hear what you've got to say. When they've built up that respect. And for some of you young leaders that are here, just remember that. Remember that the relationship is the most important thing. I have to say, sometimes in the youth group, and I know I'm banging on about the youth group a little bit, but we get some people on the younger scale come up and they're really irritating. Like really, really annoying. Like they whinge about everything. Okay. However, what is it that we need to do? We need to love them more. We need to be so nice to them that they don't want to come back. No, we need to be so nice to them that they change. They will imitate the way that we live our lives. Acts 2:47, and I'll end on this now. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you know, sometimes I think we can make discipleship really difficult. I don't think it needs to be difficult. I don't think we literally need to get the Bible and shove it down someone's throat. It just doesn't work. It's not a method for discipleship. Okay. People are looking for the way that we live our life. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to give you three eyes. The first eye is information. Is that right? What's the first? Invitation. I was just testing. The first one is invitation. Invite people. The second eye is information. Got that one right. Give people information about what you do. Oh, what you did on the weekend. Oh, I went to church. That's nice. Oh, I broke my leg. Take me to the supermarket. You know, invite people. Give them information about the way that you live your life. And the last one is imitation. Live it out. People are not going to want to follow what you do if you're a bad example. Okay? It is just not going to work. Okay? Three eyes. So before I pray, challenge for you. Are you making disciples? I would love for this to be a church that makes disciples. Who cares if they end up on the other side? Who cares if they end up in Australia, okay? It's not about building Oasis Christian Center. What is it about? It's about building the Church of God, okay? Do you know, if we start doing it, other people will do it. We'll be blessed by other people. They'll be blessed. Do you know there's churches in Redditch that have not very many people going to them? They're quite empty. It's really sad. Why can't we go and equip some of these people to put a pizza in the oven? Maybe you could write down one person, if you're not doing it already, somebody that you feel that you could encourage or disciple. Jesus was a pretty good example. He managed it with 12. I struggle to keep in contact with about 3 people in a week. Okay. So just go with what you've got. Go with what you've got. Should we pray and then the worship team could come up? Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for the great commission that you've given us to go and make disciples. Lord, I apologize if at times I haven't put this message across strong enough or well enough. And Lord, I hope, Lord, that this will be more of an encouragement than a disappointment to anybody in this room, Father. But Lord, more than anything, Lord, I pray that we will live out our lives to the best of our abilities, to what you have instructed us to do, Father. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to others. Help us to love others above ourselves, Lord. Help us, Lord, when we think that we need more time to ourselves, realize that actually we need more time with other people, Father. Lord, help us to have a heart to keep on going. Lord, and help us to have our focus upon you in the first and the foremost. So, Father God, we put everything in your hands. Lord, I pray for everybody in this room, Lord. I thank you for how much of an encouragement they are to me, Lord. Lord, in discipling me in my life, Lord Jesus. And I pray that equally, Lord, they will be blessed, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for the diversity of people that we have here to be able to go out and change our nation. Lord, I thank you for the giftings and the skills that you've given people, whether it be to lead music, to build furniture, to build businesses, to make money, to cook food, to build a family, Lord Jesus. Whatever it may be, whatever giftings that we have, I pray that we will use them to the best of our abilities to disciple people. And Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that there will not be this brick wall when people are inviting, when we are inviting people in, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to be more Christ-like and show that to other people. In your wonderful and precious name. Amen.